Hello, my name's Florence. Welcome to the Obs Pod. I'm an NHS obstetrician, hoping to share some thoughts and experiences about my working life. Perhaps you enjoy Call the Midwife, maybe birth fascinates you, or you're simply curious about what exactly an obstetrician is. You might be pregnant and preparing for birth. Perhaps you work in maternity and want to know what makes your obstetric colleagues tick, or you want some fresh ideas and inspiration. Whichever of these is the case, and for that matter, anyone else that's interested, the Obs Pod is for you. Episode 27, Responsibility. Today I'm going to talk a bit about being a consultant, the responsibility that brings with it. Being a consultant, what is it like? By the time you get there, you've trained for more than half your life for that moment. In my case, 6 years in medical school and 13 years as a, in inverted commas, junior doctor or specialty trainee. So when you've become a consultant, this is it. You've made it. You've achieved everything you aim to achieve. You've reached the top of the pyramid. Or have you? Congratulations! You're now going to work harder than ever and with more responsibility. Hurrah! The old notion of consultants doing lots of private practice or being on the golf course is completely untrue. When you look at a consultant's job at face value, it might look like we're not very busy. So an average consultant has a job plan of 10 PAs, 10 professional activities, if they're full time. Yes, it might be that 6 or 7 of these only are direct face-to-face patient care. Some of the rest of it will be writing clinic letters, following up test results, making phone calls either to patients or to other medical professionals about patients. But we don't just have clinical sessions. We have a lot of other jobs to do too. When I was appointed as labour ward lead. This meant clinical sessions, but also responsibility, together with the labour ward midwifery matron, for running the labour ward. Everything from equipment decisions, staff annual mandatory training in maternity skills and drills, implementing guidelines or implementation of learning from national reports, dealing with risk issues, negotiating consultant on-call hours, working in collaboration with anaesthetic and paediatric colleagues. The list is endless. Running a service or a department is an expectation in medicine. It's not really what we trained for. We might not have the skills, desire, or aptitude. But as a consultant, we're supposed to be the natural-born leaders. I've never seen a consultant job description that did not include lead for some service or other. Fortunately for me, I was starting at a hospital I'd already worked at, so it was familiar. But for some, they're coming in to lead something whilst also grappling with getting to know everyone, let alone the geography of the unit they're working in. Then add in the clinical work. For the first time, you are truly responsible. In maternity, this means there are women walking around in the community with your name on the front of their notes. They may never meet you. They may never need you. But they are, in inverted commas, your patients. As a trainee, if you have a problem, a conflict, a difficult conversation, you pass it on. Escalation is a key theme in maternity. The need to escalate to senior staff, to involve consultants early, to make care safer. But what if you are the consultant? Now the buck stops with you. If there are queries, complaints, or problems, they belong to you. If someone upsets women, you will be the one to smooth it over. If someone doesn't know the answer, they will come to you for advice. If questions or behaviour is challenging, you will need to diffuse it. There's nowhere to hide. There's no one to escalate to. Not only do you need to do this face to face, some of the time you need to be able to do this remotely. In the depths of the night, woken from slumber, you have to think through the description the trainee is giving, perhaps of the clinical situation or the baby's heartbeat trace. In the past, I've had to travel into the hospital, sometimes just to be able to see with my own eyes and make my own assessment of the situation. Certainly, the advent of smartphones and technology allowing remote viewing has some benefits. As a consultant, if you stop to think about the huge responsibility you've just acquired, you'd probably be paralysed, unable to do your job. The burden and the anxiety could be unbearable, unmanageable. So how, as a new consultant, can you manage this? I was cleaning out my bedside table recently and stumbled upon a notebook in the bottom drawer. Opening it, I discovered a treasure trove of notes I hadn't even remembered making. Each page laid out with a date and the numbers of the rooms on our labour ward, then completed with the trainee who was on duty and a concise clinical summary of each woman in labour. The dates are from my first year as a consultant, each page like a window in time. I can almost see my thought processes, certain pieces of information underlined, circled, starred. On some pages, I can see it was really busy, and there are a series of additions in different pens as I grab the nearest one to hand when I pick up the phone and the night progresses. In some entries, I've written, doing fine, or fully, meaning fully dilated. I can almost hear the relief. I can see scrappy sums as I try and calculate total blood loss for a woman with a hemorrhage. The book goes on for just over a year. It isn't full. It just peters out partway through. Is this the point at which I'm confident I can handle this and I no longer need the notebook for security? I don't know. I don't even remember writing it. I don't even remember using it. But that's my guess. But we're not invincible. What happens when we as consultants feel out of our depth? It's a tricky case. We just can't make out the diagnosis. Or it's an incredibly challenging operation and we just don't know which way to safely proceed. That's when the responsibility sits heavy. The time you admit to yourself you've reached your limit. It may be simply you're tired and can't see the wood for the trees, and that if you were fresh, you'd be fine. Or it might be that it really is the most complex situation and there is no clear right or wrong. This is when it's your responsibility to recognise that although you're in charge, although you're the end of the line, this woman needs more. More than that. More than you. That's when you need to phone a friend. At first, when you're a new consultant, it's hard to make those calls. Ring a colleague, ask for help. You fear it displays incompetence. Shouldn't I be able to manage this myself? I remember the way an anaesthetic colleague eyed me with my first cesarean hysterectomy. This is when a hemorrhage has become so uncontrollable you need to perform a hysterectomy, remove the womb, as a life-saving procedure. I'd called a senior colleague. I felt it was my fault. I should have managed not to get to this point. I felt judged, a junior consultant that had let things run away from her. I wanted to prove myself, stand on my own two feet, earn his respect, demonstrate I was able, I was competent, I was a consultant now. But it didn't take me long to appreciate that actually, when I thought I'd reached the top as a consultant, I had actually reached the bottom of the next ladder. It's obvious looking back now. Now I've been a consultant longer than I was ever a trainee. Obviously, I would have more experience and more skills than when I started. But I still see that because a consultant is a single grade, there's an illusion that we're all the same. In my unit, whenever a new consultant colleague starts work, we all emphasise we will come in, we will support them, whenever, whatever. However small or simple a question, nothing is too stupid. We reiterate again and again that it's a strength to call, that calling is normal, that we all do it, however senior, and that it's expected. Two heads puzzling are always better than one. I have come in time to help colleagues, and they have come in their turn for me. Sometimes when we have a serious complication and we want to do a risk investigation, it's really tricky to find a consultant to be the lead investigator, as so many of us will have been involved. And we need to find someone who's not been involved to be impartial. You can always tell when there's a major problem in our unit. News travels. Very rapidly, the labour ward starts to fill with colleagues offering help, whether it be with the case itself or the other women needing care, or just moral support. It's very much an all-hands-on-deck approach. Our midwives know it too. Sometimes when we're struggling, one of them will pipe up. Who would you like me to call? Do you want help? And obviously, midwifery colleagues can chip in too. But there are times when you need a fellow consultant, someone with that specific expertise, to come alongside you and help you out. Now today's zesty bit. It's your responsibility to know your limits. Only you know what you can handle at any given moment in time, what your experience is, what your expertise is, what your limits are that particular day. Better to ask for help than end up out of your depth. Yes, you are a highly capable consultant, but you're human too. Asking for help is a strength. After all, you are literally responsible for life and death decisions. So spread the load. Phone a friend. If you work in maternity services, appreciate those new consultants. It's a lonely place. It's a scary place. Offer them support. Ask who they'd like you to ring. That isn't undermining. That's helpful. Reassure them it's normal. We all do it. Encourage them to realise they don't need to have all the answers all the time. If you're a pregnant woman, don't be disconcerted when a second consultant arrives, or even a third or a fourth. It doesn't mean that the person looking after you, the person that started, doesn't know what they're doing. It doesn't mean they're incompetent. It doesn't mean you need to be scared or feel unsafe. Quite the opposite. It means they've got your best interests at heart. They're working together to tackle the issues. You're safer than you could ever be in the hands of a single person, because it means that you have more than one person trying to do their absolute best to care for you and your baby. Be reassured, there is strength in numbers. And that together, they will see you through. So I do hope you've enjoyed listening to the OBS Pod. If you have, do like, subscribe, or leave a review. And join me again to explore more about the life of an NHS obstetrician. I'm finding it really exciting to have people listening and give me feedback about what they've found interesting. So please do recommend the OBS Pod to other friends, colleagues, or people who you think might find it interesting. I'd love it if you'd share with me what you've enjoyed about listening and if you've done anything differently as a result. I can be found on Twitter at FWMaternity and at the OBS Pod, and please do check the MatExp hashtag MATEXP, and the website matexp.org.uk. www.mentalhealthcare.uk for more information and ideas on how to improve women's experience of maternity care. Finally, I'd like to reassure you that I take confidentiality very seriously, and although I'm talking about experiences from my working life, I'm taking great pains to make sure that I anonymise the stories and talk in more general terms so that I keep confidentiality of my women I currently care for and have cared for in the past very safe. Many thanks for listening.